Today's Old Testament reading, chapters 11 and 12 of Ecclesiastes, you'll find it on page 546 and 547 in your Red Pew Bibles. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However, many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety in your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless. And now to chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2, and then followed by verses 8 to 20. It's found on page 949 of the Pew Bibles. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel comes from John 15, verses 5 to 11. Can be found on page 876 of the Pew Bibles.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, friends, it's good to be here. As was said, my name is Tim. Primarily, I deal with the 6:30 service in the far end of the spectrum of life, which this sermon will hit slightly differently towards. And so let me pray for us as we come together and hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes, and we pray now as we come to learn from it, Lord, that you would speak to us from your word, teach us what you want us to know, and help us live out your life in this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, maybe you have asked the question of in your life at some point, maybe you ask it more now towards the end of your life, if God has a will for your life, why hasn't he told you what it is? I know lots of people who ask this question because we go through life and we ask so many different questions about what we should do, and we have to make so many different decisions about how we're going to live and what we're going to do with our life. This morning alone, I had to get up and decide if I should listen to my alarm and wake up or not. I had to get out of bed, decide what I was going to wear. I had to eat breakfast and decide what I was going to eat for breakfast because there was not much milk. So I decide, do I get the milk? Does somebody else get the milk? Decide whether or not I need to walk or drive the car this morning. And then, of course, we get more large questions as we go through life. What university course should I do as we grow up? Whether or not I should live here or there? Who should I marry throughout my life? Whether or not I should volunteer in this ministry or that ministry? Should I get up in the morning and serve at this service or a different service? Should I use the gifts that God has given me in this way or that way? We have so many different decisions that we have to make throughout our life, and it would be much easier if God said to us, this is exactly what I want you to do, in exactly that kind of detail that we're looking for. But often he doesn't. But much ink has been spilt over trying to work out the will of God in each and every different circumstance of your life, and we come up with different ways of thinking about it. Sometimes we use the magic eight ball, a 1990s toy where you shake it and this little triangular device in the middle of ink and oil spins around a bit and gives you an answer. Often the answer is negative. The outlook is not so good. Sometimes it says yes. Sometimes it says maybe, this time no. It says all sorts of different things, and sometimes we use God like that. We shake him up and we wait for him to whisper in our ear or give us a certain feeling about what we should do in our life. There's even people that will wait for complete direct input from God and won't make a single decision in their life until they hear a direct word from God or his people or from a certain revelation of his word, and they'll do nothing until such a point happens. But what if I told you in Ecclesiastes and in the rest of the Bible, there's actually a very clear and distinct answer as to what we should do about our life, about how we should go about and live our life, and it is somewhat surprising when we come to that in Ecclesiastes. You see, the height of all the wisdom of the Old Testament, the height of wisdom and knowledge and wealth and pleasure and all that you can gain under the sun and obtain from this world is that you should enjoy God. That our duty as the people of God is to love him and enjoy what he has given us. And so today, this is what we're going to look through. At the end of Ecclesiastes, did you expect the answer to be, have fun? Often we don't. It's not what we expect, but that is the answer that Ecclesiastes gives us in 11 and 12. And so we're going to look through, enjoy life while you still can, remember your creator before it's too late, and then the answer to both of those is embrace joyful living through Jesus. And so we start with, enjoy life while you can. The teacher in Ecclesiastes has spent most of his time describing why the world is meaningless. I think we've gotten that picture over the last 5 weeks, and why each of these different things, if you only take that certain thing and pursue that to the end and make it the key of your life, it's meaningless and it achieves nothing. Because if you chase after it and you want it, you might get it, but then it will fade, it will disappear over time, or you'll die and you won't be able to keep it. That's his conclusion to just about everything in life. It's breathy, vaporous, meaningless. But his conclusion at each of all of those sections is the little bit of hope and joy that we want to hear. Not this negative, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless, but he also says something to do with enjoying life. Eat, drink, and be merried. Find the things that God has given you and enjoy them, he says, over and over and over again throughout the book. And so here again in chapters 11 and 12, he says this. And he reminds us that God's world is to be savored, not scorned. He opens with, in chapter 11, we're starting at verse 7, not verse 1, but verse 7. We're going to look from there onwards. He starts with the giant fiery ball in the sky. That brings us so much joy when it's out and about. It wasn't there for most of this week until the sort of tail end of the week, and I bet your second half of the week was probably warmer and nicer than the first half. When the sun is out and we stand in it, we're flooded with a sense of joy. As vitamin D pours over you, and if you stare directly at the sun, though not recommended, you do get flooded with endorphins as well. The sun is good for when we stand in it. Parts of God's creation are actually good and fun to be in. He then comes to verse 8 and says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. What a nice start for the passage of Ecclesiastes we're looking at. It's not a point of meaningless, but a point of enjoy what God gives you. Not just eat, drink, and be merry like he said in the past, but now enjoy everything about your days. As you see the sun and you enjoy its warmth, enjoy all the days in which you see. Verse 9 continues the idea. You who are young, be happy while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Enjoy your days. He goes on in the rest of verse 9 to say, don't worry about anxiety. Cast off the burdens and pains of your body. Don't worry about those things. Just enjoy yourself. Reminds me of a song. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. You don't have to worry about any little thing. You can just be happy, says Bob Marley. It feels like the preacher and teacher of Ecclesiastes is advocating for what we spoke about back in chapter 2. It almost feels as if he's saying, "Don't all the things of this world, the only thing that matters is if you enjoy them." It sounds like he's advocating for hedonism again, but he's already spoken that that can't be the thing. We shouldn't pursue that, but here he's saying, just go out and be happy. To the point where some writers ignore this section of Ecclesiastes and say that can't be the teacher's words because it's so outside what he's already been talking about. But no, this is what he says to us. Go out and enjoy yourself. People normally take this bit out because they think that joy and holiness can't ever go together. In order to be holy, you must give up things in this world. You must avoid the earthly. The only way you can be truly holy, says some writers, that this you must abstain from anything that comes from this world. This is a very annoying type of thought called asceticism. And a whole group of people called the aesthetics throughout history, they've come and gone in different ways. This is one of the most famous, St. Daniel, who lived on a pole to avoid the world around him, to be as holy as he possibly could. He lived on a pole in the desert. Didn't enjoy much of his life. But the teacher here isn't saying go and live on a pole in the desert. He's clearly stating go and enjoy your life. He's very careful to say that enjoying your life without reference to God is meaningless. But here he says that joy is not a distraction from holiness. But rather, if you live your life in joy and holiness, you're expressing the wonders of God. See, joy in what God gives us in the world, the joy in which he has created and that if we go out and enjoy, it is simply an acknowledgement of what God has given us. God created the world and he meant for it to be enjoyed. Going and using the things that God has given us for good and not for wrong is what he intended. Sin entered the world and broke it, and now how we enjoy things tends to get clouded. But God's intention was for his world to be used. Joy Joy in God's world is not a carefree recklessness, and not enjoying things for the sake of enjoying them, for the sake of chasing after pleasure. He says that in verse 9, God will bring you into judgment for the things that you do. And then again in the back half of chapter 12, he says, for the good and the bad things he will bring you into judgment. No, the joy of our world is anchored in the knowledge that God will bring things to account. And we must enjoy things that God gives us, revel in the things that God gives us, in a way that honours him. And so the teacher calls you in this first section to go out and enjoy your life. While you still can, while there's still time, go out and enjoy your life, because his warning in chapter 11 is, darkness will come. There will be days of darkness that follow, where youth and vigour will fade and things will not look so nice. And so while you're enjoying the world, he says, go and remember your Creator before it's too late. Whilst the light is sweet and pleasing to the eyes to see, it will not always be the case, says the teacher. One day will come when you will find no pleasure in the days of your life. The trouble of time is that it keeps on turning. We learned that in chapter 3. It keeps going. And what time dulls what once dazzled, what was once beautiful in its place, is now dark and not always what we want it to be. Sorry about my slides. And so he says in chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember that God is the one who made all things. Remember that God is the wonderful creator of you. That you are not the king over the world, but God is. And God will be judge at the end of days. The one who stands in the heavenly courtroom at the end of time and says, you are righteous or you are not righteous. For many of you, you might question, why does he talk so much about the days of your youth, as many of you have passed the days of your youth? Even I feel like sometimes I've passed the days of my youth, though you would probably laugh at that and say, no, you haven't. Ecclesiastes is likely a warning to young people primarily. It's a book of wisdom. Wisdom is often needed when you are younger, and more wisdom is often needed when you are younger. And so the whole book of Ecclesiastes is likely a writing to young people as they come up in life, especially future possible kings. But it's also a warning to anyone and everyone. There are some reasons why he says youth more often. But as you hear him say youth, and over the next little while I talk about youth a little bit, just remember that it's a warning to you too. Because it's a warning to all to keep God at the center of their life. When you're young, it's a lot easier to put God back in the center of your life. You have less life that you've lived, less things pulling on you to pull back into this position. And so it's not so difficult to put God back in the center of your life. But as we get older, we get more ingrained in what we think about. We get stuck in our ways, many people would say. It's still just as important to have God at the center, but it is much harder to get him back there. And so while you're young, it is important to order your life correctly while it's still simple. And so in order to truly enjoy life, we should have God and his Son at the center of our lives. This is just a warning for you as well as everybody else, but when life continues on and the body fades and beauty dims and the look of life looks bleak and difficult, it is so much harder to keep God at the center of life. And so if you don't set up good processes early, it can be very difficult to put him back. And so for you, while you are here, remember God who created you because it's not too late. You may be on the older side of the church, but it is not too late for you to put God back in his rightful place as the center and foundation of your life. You see, waiting to take God seriously is the fastest way to miss out on the purpose of life. I love catechisms. I'm trying to work out how we can teach catechisms at youth and children's programs at church. But a catechism is basically a set of questions and answers that help us understand God. And the very first one of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is one of my favorite and one that I'll never forget, I hope, is "What is the chief end of man?" Great opening to anything you want to teach about God. Does anyone know what the answer is? Bring glory to God and enjoy him forever. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's a great opening to a set of things. It's not just obey him, but glorify him, which has obedience built into it. But then it follows up with that wonderful statement of enjoy him. It's what Ecclesiastes is going on about. To do that, though, we must have God at the center of our life, and he will drive all meaning and enjoyment in our life. And so he calls us to remember him before the silver cord is severed and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. He says, remember him before you die. When God isn't at the center of our lives, coming to church at 8 o'clock is quite difficult, I'm sure. I find it hard, but we can get around that. When God isn't at the center of our lives, sometimes being this early or the earliest possible service can feel like you're a bit on the forgotten. Sometimes it's nicer to stay in bed where it's warm and dry and it's easier. But when God is at the center of our life, we know that church isn't about our comfort. We know that church and attending, no matter where and when, it is about the glorifying of the King of creation. That we come here each week, not for our own sake, but for the sake of others and for the sake of building up our church and glorifying God. Having God at the center of our life helps us focus on what is truly meaningful in life. Not the meaningless of Ecclesiastes, but what truly matters. It's good for me to say that you should put God at the center of your life, but there is always a question when someone says that is, how do I do that? What does that mean? Well, Ecclesiastes and Ephesians 5, that we'll go to in a second, says that we should do this through Jesus. The writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 ends with the fact that we're going to die. But we see a bit of a glimpse of his understanding of what happens after we die. It's there in verse 7, if you've got your Bible open, it says that the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. But that sort of is where he leaves it. There doesn't appear to be a distinction of afterlife, but except the spirit returns to God. There may be more to it. He may have a bigger picture, but we don't really know, and he doesn't give it to us. And the bleak picture that the teacher does give us in 11 and 12 is that life, the end of life, is quite bleak. It's quite shrouded in darkness, and it's almost as if this is what he's trying to tell us. This is what the world is like if you don't know God. It's bleak and dark. There isn't much going on. And then eventually you will die, your body will turn to dust, and then it will be over. But he lives in the Old Testament, and we're very thankful for the New Testament that gives us more picture about what happens after we die. Yes, the dust does return to the ground and our bodies decay, but this final return to dust is not the end of the story. There's new life, new hope. What is given to us is not a fiery ball in the sky, the sun, but rather the sweet light of the world, the true Son, Jesus. Our 2 points so far have been enjoy God and remember your Creator. And now we think to enjoy we must remember. And now we come to how do we actually go about this? Ephesians 5 is a wonderful description of what is going on. Jesus gives us freedom to truly enjoy God. If you've got Ephesians 5 there, it is worth having a look at. He begins with a distinction about what the truly beloved are and what they're called to do in verses 1 and 2. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then in verse 8, he says, you were once in darkness. That bleak picture of the world, the broken wheel, the mourners going about the street. But now because of Jesus, you are light in the Lord. And so he calls us to live as children of the light. He says, remember that God is creator, the maker of all things, and that God, that completely other being, reached down into our reality because he loved his people. And despite all of their rebellion and sinfulness, he sent someone to redeem his people. Over and over and over again, not just once in Jesus, but throughout the whole story of the Old Testament, God constantly redeems his people, and then he ultimately does it in Jesus. That those who were once living in darkness apart from God, separated from his eternal majesty, but because of his love, were made right with him. We remember God who has given us grace. A joyous grace, that despite all the things that we do, he reaches down and points at us and says, I want you to be a part of my family. Despite all of our chasing after the empty things that are meaningless, wealth, possessions, wisdom, success, advancement, and doing all manner of things that does not honor God, he looked upon us and said, I love you and will always love you. See, joy begins with relationship, and primarily it begins with relationship with God. Joy is not about enjoying things for its own sake, but the deep, unshakable gladness of being known and loved by God. Do you know this kind of grace? The grace that is offered by God at the cross, the forgiveness of your sins and the redemption of your soul. And is this the foundation of all your life that you drive all joy from? Ephesians 5 continues and it says, there it is. Be careful then how you live. If this is all true, then be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Hint to glorify him and enjoy him forever. He tells us some negative things about how not to do that, and then he tells us some positive things in Ephesians 5 on how we should go about doing that. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with singing to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, making music from the heart, giving thanks to the Lord always for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Worship God is what he says. Be joyous about what God has given you and then return to him in joyous worship because of this wondrous gift he has given you. Enjoy God. Remember who he is and what he has done for you in the death of Jesus Christ. This will always help you embrace a joyful life with Christ. But the theology of this is pretty simple. It's pretty easy. God saved you, so you should be thankful and return to him in joy. But what does that actually look like in our lives? How do you remember God when you are no longer young and vigorous and when the days of darkness and bleak and sin can creep in easily against you? Well, Ephesians 5 is right. Live as a child of light. Sometimes the reflection of read your Bible, pray to God, and hang out with his people can seem a bit repetitive, but it is always one of the answers to most applications. If you want to build a relationship with God, then it is key that you open your Bible. It is important that you pray and you talk to God. You live life as a Christian. But to go a bit deeper as well, if you want to live as life as a child of God, then it is important to pause and reflect. Especially as you get older, it is more and more important to look back over your life and see how God has been gracious to you. You have more life than most people to be able to look back over and see how God has loved and cared for you and looked after you. Sometimes for people that is harder, but it's still important. That you are here now as a believer of Jesus and he has kept you this whole time. That times there were joy, at times there were darkness, but God has been there with you the whole time. What a joyous thing that God has been with you your whole life so far. Even if you only came to him and knew him later in life, he's still been with you the whole time. God has shown and revealed his glory throughout your life, and we ought to ask him to help us reorder our life. If you have looked at your life and paused and reflected and seen that God is no longer at the center or has shifted in his position, then we come back and we sit and we pray, we read, and we reorientate our life back towards him. One of the most important ways of doing this is coming to church and talking with our fellow believers about how they have God at the center and how they go about doing that. Maybe that's a topic for you after the service, and how people go each day with bringing God back to the center. Friends, what is it for you? As we wrap up this series of Ecclesiastes, this is the last sermon on Ecclesiastes. What is something that brings you back to enjoying God? When maybe your mind wanders and your heart fades, what brings you back? What helps you live in the world that God has given us in a joyous but godly way? Maybe you can help us all by sharing that with us at morning tea to help us reorientate God to the center of our lives so that we drive joy from him and nothing else. Because it's important to remember that joyous living, living joyously with God, is very serious. We should strive to enjoy our life with God as God has given it to us. We should revel in the beauty of God's creation that he's made for us, in the beauty of the grace that he has given us as the constant reminder of who he is and what he does for his people, with the stark warning of Ecclesiastes that death is coming. The death will awaits us at all times. And so he says, remember God before you can't. Enjoy God before you can't. Live your life in joyful reverence to God, no matter where you are. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this joyful ending of Ecclesiastes. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we go out this morning into the world this week to enjoy our life with you. Lord, to see the things that you have given us in big picture, in grace, in small picture, in the sun and the flowers and the cool breeze. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see how wonderful you are. And Lord, enjoy the things you have given us all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.